Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah 49. I'll read a couple of praises then. Tell you what God wants you to hear. Isaiah chapter 49. I'll read verse 13, 14, and 15. Are you there? Isaiah 49, verse 13, it says then, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people, and we have mercy upon his afflicted. Verse 14, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. In verse 15, it says there, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? The answer is yes. They may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, I'll read verse 35. Are you there? It says there, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Verse 36, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Let's turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37. I read a few verses. I read from verse 11. It says there, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your grave, O my people, and brought you up out of your grave, that you and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. You see, this is the word of God, the two praises I read, God talking to his people. God talking to you. The first message there was, sing, my people. Sing, O heaven, rejoice before me. Dance before me. Do not mind the challenges you are passing through. That was the word of God to the people of Israel. That was the word of God at that time. And I can tell you, it's the same word of God unto you. That came with a promise, that I will have mercy upon you, O you that is afflicted, O you that is sick. Oh, you that have vision, but that vision has not come to pass. Oh, you that is having problem in your marriage, in your business, in your work, wherever, in your relationship, in your family, whatever problem. The Bible came up there and says, sing, oh heaven. Rejoice. That's before. Forget about all those challenges because I am in the throne. But the Bible says there again, the next verse says there, but Zion, the people of God said, no, God has forgotten us. God has forsaken us. Why should we sing praises unto him? And that comes the message, the title of the message. You are not forsaken. You are not forgotten. You are not forsaken. You are not forgotten. It is a clear message unto you. You are not forgotten. You are not forsaken. Why? Because God told me this. Why? Because God gave me this message. Why? Because God confirmed it before I stand here to tell you that God is saying this. You are not forgotten. You are not forsaken. God is still in charge. God is still in control. God is still watching events. You may say, no, I am forgotten. Look at this. This is the way it's happening. Look at that. That is the way it's happening. And you are standing there to tell me that God has not forgotten me or forsaken me. I have prayed and nothing has happened. The news that God wants me to tell you is that you are not forgotten. God gave me a confirmation, so it's your option, it's your time to believe it. What confirmation God gave me? When God gave me the message to preach this, he just gave me a few verses. I prayed, I said, God, but sometimes we need confirmation so that we can tell the people of God, what God, the mind of God concerning them. I prayed and trusted God for confirmation that this is what God wants to say. But what testimony would I share that happened so often or that just happened? God confirmed something in my life or in my family yesterday. I'll give you the testimony. Why God is saying this, that you are not forgotten. Why you need to believe him for that to come to pass in your life. You know, the testimony is this. You know, our daughter Esther, she's 9 at this time, 9+. And she has been using nappies all through. Like a few weeks ago, I gave a testimony that we almost every morning take her to toilet and everything is going on well with her. So the confirmation God gave us that we are not forgotten, as well as you are not forgotten, is this. Before I went to Office Works yesterday to pick up something, that was around 10. She was still sleeping. As I was in Office Works, I received a phone call from my wife, Nancy, that did I put Esther to toilet? I said, no. She said, look, Esther woke up. Bethel, Excel, they were rejoicing. Esther woke up while we were still, because I left her when she was sleeping. She woke up, removed her nappy, went to toilet, was in the toilet, and she pooed before someone now came out. It took how many years? 9 years plus. And God did this to confirm to you that you are not forgotten. Irrespective of the physical appearance. I'm telling you things that I have tested. Things that God has said. You are not forgotten. You see, there are some people that believe they're forgotten.
And when they believe that, they acted foolishly. And when they act foolishly, there is a problem somewhere. When that problem comes, it might take some years. The problem might still be there. That problem cannot go. In fact, sometimes it will bring their downfall. I'll give you an example. Saul, in Old Testament, you can see it there, 1 Samuel chapter 13. Saul was a king. His portion was not to offer sacrifice before God. Now, he waited for Samuel. Samuel tarried. And he feared that the people might be attacked. The Bible says that they were scattered. And he saw the children of God scattered everywhere. And because of that, he went in, offered a burnt offering before God, which was a taboo, which was a big problem. After that, he thought that God has forsaken them. He thought that, even the Israelites, they have scattered. That was his thought. He couldn't wait. But after the sacrifice, Samuel appeared. I said, "What have you done?" He gave his own reasons. Sometimes we behave foolishly, including me. So he gave his own reasons that the people scattered. He feared. Samuel said, "Okay, God would have established your kingdom, but your kingdom has been taken away." It was a sad event for him. I don't wish that kind of events to happen in your life, and it will not happen. But you need to pay some. You need to take some actions. He would have waited. I don't know what God is talking to you. You may be in haste. You want to hasten out. You want to show you have arrived. You want to act. It's a warning. Also, Abraham had the same issue. Abraham thought that God forgot him, that God has forsaken him. He heed to the advice. You know, sometimes our closest person may be emotional. He took the advice, and we know the end product of the advice. He had a child that he later put away. Young people, sometimes we want to listen to media. We want to be carried away with the world events. Wait unto God. God that did it in our life, we do it in your life. As he's doing it now that we have more marriages. So sometimes we feel that we are forsaken and forgotten. It's human nature. That is normal. But the actions, the aftermath actions, the actions you take after that event. Job had similar issue. His closest associate, even his beloved wife, they gave him advice. The only option is curse God and let it be. Your closest allies maybe may give you advice. Leave that church that talk too much of holiness. That was the advice they gave this young man, Job, without knowing that there was a conversation between God and devil, because our human brain and our perception is limited. Our spiritual inclination is also limited, except the ones that God reveals unto us. Our knowledge of the future, of tomorrow, is limited. That is the truth. bought to his associates, Job's associates, they didn't know that there was a strong contest as well as strong conversations. So they offered him all kinds of advice. They attributed his sufferings, his challenges, based on his sins, without knowing that it shouldn't be. So it's important that when we are challenged, we should be careful of what messages we allow to come into our lives. What social media messages, what we read in the internet, what the greatest preacher that is preaching. As long as it's not of God, as long as Christ is not of it, I advise you to turn away your ears unto that. What did Job did? They gave him all kinds of counsel, but he refused. He persevered to the end. It's up to you whether to listen to this counsel or to obey the counsel of God. Whether in the name of love, you know, Jesus Christ is the greatest lover I can ever imagine. But when he entered his father's house and saw people doing business, like Pastor said, he has to chase them away. So it's up to us to know what side we belong to in the period of waiting. So you are not forsaken, not forgotten. So these people that I have mentioned, they acted foolishly. When events, when the ties of the world were almost against them. In fact, in the New Testament, you can see the disciples. Some of the disciples, again, they almost acted foolishly. I'll give you an example. Jesus Christ was in the same boat or in the same ship with his disciples. When the wind came upon them, and the wind was much against them, and the master, Jesus Christ, was somewhere else sleeping, when they rushed unto him, they said, carest not that we perish. That was what almost like accusation unto Jesus. Carest not that we perish. You can see it in Mark chapter 4, verse 39. So they almost like accused Jesus Christ. Carest not that we perish on this kind of trouble. Jesus Christ woke up. He rebuked the wind. After that, Jesus Christ came back and was not happy with their little faith. Asked them, you need to grow your faith and all that. So, some people acted wrongly when they are waiting. Some people make wrong decisions instead of waiting on God. Even some close associates give wrong advice. But God is calling you unto today to talk to you. So you know your part. When certain things are delayed. So the second part of the message is this. Our God is faithful. He that has planted you here is faithful more than what you can imagine. He that brought us together is faithful more than what we can perceive. He that brought you to hear this message is faithful. He has the power to change the course of events. Even when the enemy thought that he has won the battle. Why? I'll give you some instances. You know Peter, one of the apostles, one that walked with Jesus. After the crucifixion of Jesus and Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, his disciples, We are persecuted because of what? Because of the righteousness of God, because of the message that we are preaching, the message of the kingdom. So at that time, the persecution was so much that they arrested James, and James was killed. They arrested Peter, and they threw him into prison. It's enough for the church at that time to scatter. It's enough to tell them that God has forsaken them. It's enough to tell them the time of grace is over. But the disciples did one thing that I love. One thing that God commanded, that is recommended that all of us should do. So when Peter was in that prison, I don't know the prison. At that time, it was physical prison. In your own case, maybe different prison. Maybe a financial prison. Maybe business prison. It may be a vision that God has given to you. It has not been fulfilled. It may be any vision. It may be vision in the house of God. It may be vision outside there. It may be vision to impact life. It may be vision to build a strong business. It may be a vision to build a strong family. But literally, it has not come to pass. What you are physically seeing is far away from what you know that God has promised you. So Peter was in prison. The children of God, the apostles, the Bible made it clear, they cried unto God that God released his angel. That at a night, Peter was brought out from his prison. So what was Peter did there? Peter was calm, trusting God, not accusing God like some of us do. I'll give you an example. Some people are accusing God, why do the marriage suffer? Went on to the other side. I said, no, we should thank God. Some people are accusing God. They have prayed and they have not received their healing. Some people are accusing God. They've lost their job. They've lost their business. They've lost their partner or whosoever that God engaged with them. They're no more engaged and so on. But this Peter and the disciples did a different thing. They praised God, they worshiped God, they cried out unto God, and God intervened. That is why when you cry unto God, and I can tell you this, God always intervenes. And God will intervene in your behalf in Jesus' name. Also this, Jesus Christ in his own time, almost his last minute, he felt forsaken. The Bible says there, I can except if I read it anywhere, but the interpretation is, my God, why have thou forsaken me? He cried out unto God, my Father, why have thou forsaken me? After that, he said, it is finished. He said, Father, unto you I commit my spirit. That means he cried, but after that, he committed his soul, his spirit, he submitted to the will of his Father. He did not depart from the will of his Father. But sometimes, some people, at a point in time, they thought that God has forsaken them, they will depart from the truth. They thought that it's because they're associated with the truth, that is why they're having this kind of problem. They thought that is because we talk about holiness. That is what is the problem. It's not. We are preaching the word of God. We love the people of God. We stand in the truth. So the enemy thought that he won the battle concerning Jesus. But the Bible recorded this. Jesus Christ thought that, he said, my Father, why have thou forsaken me? After that, he said, it is finished. Unto you I commit my spirit. He committed his spirit unto God. The Bible now recorded this. The resurrection morning came in. At that time, God commanded his angel. his angel came in, rolled away the stone that was upon Jesus, and he resurrected. So the battle that the enemy thought that he has won was reversed in the favor of you and I. So irrespective of what you are thinking, what you are passing through, you are thinking, you are forgotten. The truth is this. Wait. God has not forsaken you. God has not forgotten you. It's important that you remember this. And where we read in Hebrews, the Hebrew says that after you have done the will of God, you need to wait. You need to wait for him to come in and manifest his power. After you have done all you are saying, in fact, John the Baptist had the same thing. In the time of John the Baptist, he preached the gospel, and in fact, it came a time that they came unto him and said, "Who are you? You've talked so much about Jesus. Who are you? Tell us, are you one of the prophets? Are you one of this? Are you one of that?" He said, no, that he's only a voice crying in the wilderness. He told them, no, I am unprofitable servant. That's what he told them. I am unprofitable servant. So our God is faithful. He is faithful to bring you out of that challenge. He is faithful to heal you. But you need to wait. You need to tell him, God, unto you have I surrendered this will. Unto you have I surrendered this vision. Unto you have I said, God, it's only you that can move it. And if you do that, I can tell you what, God will move in his power. There are so many places in the Bible. If you're a Bible student, you will see it there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were there. The enemy threw them into fire. The enemy thought that is the end of their life, but that was the beginning of their victory. You see, something happened to Joseph. Joseph had a similar issue that his brother sold him. From there, he was thrown into prison. They thought that his vision had been buried. So sometimes it might be physical enemy. Sometimes it might be spiritual enemy. I don't know the one you are passing through. But what I can tell you is this, that God that is above all is above the powers of your enemies. Because he's above the powers of your enemies, he can smash and crush your enemies in the twinkle of an eye, irrespective of their powers. It has happened before, and it will still happen that our God will continuously triumph over the powers of the enemies. And God is interested in your life. God is interested in the vision that he has given unto you, no matter how old you are. It may be a vision to serve God. It may be a vision to build business. It may be a vision, whatever. God is interested in that. He will bring it to pass. He will bring it to fulfillment. Let the enemy lose all those things. Let the enemy fight against you. I'm a living testimony. Let them fight whatever means they want to fight. There is a God that is backing me. There is a God that is backing you. If that God is backing you, the enemy will make only noise. After the noise comes the victory. So the people of Israelites, to the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they made all noise. They thought that was their end. To Daniel even self, they thought that was his end. To Joseph, they thought that was his end. But even to Jesus, the enemy thought that was his end. But resurrection morning, the morning of deliverance, the power of God came and triumphed over the powers of hell. That power that worked that miracle those days is the same power that is alive today. The same power that will do great and mighty things in your life, even today. He has not changed. In Hebrews, the Bible says this, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he is still in the throne. He still cares for you. I am telling you, because I know about this. But the scripture cannot change. The Bible says, endure hardship as a soldier of Christ. Sometimes we need to endure some hardship because after the hardship comes triumph. God has a big plan for you in this church. Some may be planned to make you multimillionaires. Some may be planned to build great things for him. The plan that God has for you may not be the same plan God has for me. So I can't compare myself to you. The Bible says this, those that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. So God is interested in you. God is interested to change events. God is interested to do great and mighty things, even this morning. Look at the message that God has given unto us to do this morning. That is in Ezekiel. It says there, 37. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Remember, before this revelation, God took Ezekiel to dry bones and said, what do you see? He told God that, look, I can see dry bones. Jesus, God now told him, look, prophesy unto dry bones. His part that God gave him, the assignment that God gave him as a man of God was to prophesy. Now, the part of God to do as him being God is to bring life unto that. But when the ministers of God forsake his part, that is what happens elsewhere. It doesn't happen here because God has called us to prophesy into your life. So the Bible says there, prophesy unto those bones. He did that. In verse 12, it says, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your grave. So, as people called by God, anointed by God, God asks us to prophesy in your life. When we do that, things that we thought that it cannot be changed, is changed before the altar of God. Those that are in prisons are liberated. Things that are dead are brought back to life. It's also happened in my life. One of the days, I'll give you some testimonies about things that that medically it is dead, where God changed events. So God is asking you this morning to trust him enough. God is telling you, you are not forsaken nor forgotten. He has the power, even as we prophesy in your life this morning, even as you cry unto him this morning. We need to trust him enough. Because I know that this God that has called us is beyond what we can imagine. I know that this God has called us has the power to heal you. I know that this God that has called us has the power to bring you out of that valley. I know that this God that you have come to see has the power in a twinkle of an eye. What does he require from you? He wants you to trust him. He wants you to be he wants you to stand strong. He wants you to have that beyond human conviction that God is for you, that God cares for you, that he will never leave you alone because he never left his people alone. Are you going to ask him this morning to touch you? Are you going to cry out? Or would you complain? Are you going to say, God, here am I? Because I know when we get to heaven, we see him face to face. When we get to heaven, we see him as saying, oh, welcome,
My dear daughter, you should have asked those things. I would have given it to you. So what are you asking him? What are you expecting from him? Stand up in confidence and ask him in confidence. Don't accuse him. Don't tell him that you have forsaken him. Let's rise up and cry out unto God. Please, let's stand up and cry out unto God.